what you're putting in his heart, the words you're putting in his mouth right now. And so we just pray for just the flow of your river out of his belly to spew forth into this place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, T. Man, T's a godsend, isn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. Whew. It's good stuff. All right. Well, I really believe the Lord's given me this word for this season. It's been coincidentally with the holiday season, with the Christmas season specifically. And the word is about divine encounters. Here's the thing. Divine encounters change everything. I just spoke about one at the Loeb's house in worship. Divine encounters can transform not only your mind, but your heart. Divine encounters can take ordinary people like Gideon and make them extraordinary. Take ordinary shepherds like a little boy named Dave and make him the great King David. I would submit to you that he was just an ordinary child with an extraordinary call and an extraordinary faith that God put in his heart. And in divine encounters, he became the great conqueror. He became what God had designed for that time and that season. Last week, we mentioned that in the Christmas season, it's one of the most supernatural stories in all the Bible. Would you agree? I mean, it starts with an angel, an angelic encounter to probably a teenage girl. And then in the story, this guy, Joseph, finds out that his wife-to-be, his fiance, in our terms, is going to have a child. And then goes to bed set on ending the engagement. Until what happens? He has a dream. And in the dream, God speaks. And then another dream, you're going to have a son. His name is to be called Jesus, da-da-da-da. The stories just go on and on. Then you've got the shepherds out there. They're essentially just at work, right? They're doing their job. They're not in the temple. They're not like Zechariah. There's another one, Elizabeth's husband, who has an encounter at church. This is an encounter on the job where this host of angels shows up, and the next thing you know, it's a game. Everything shifts for them. Whether it's in church or it's at your house or it's at your job or wherever, on your trail that you love to walk on, God is in the business of encountering us in fresh ways. So as I mentioned last week, I was reading the Christmas stories passages fresh this year, and I thought, and I've been talking about encounters, and God said, Matthew, you get what you talk about. I'm like, all right, well, that's good because I got a big mouth, Lord. I'm going to keep talking because I can talk and talk and talk. Just ask my wife, my mother-in-law. We can talk, man. When we start having conversations, I hope the kids don't need food because they might not get it. He said, you get what you talk about, and I'm giving you divine encounters. Are you paying attention? You see, the problem is in the Christmas season, it's Christians all over the world, they read these stories, but they don't believe what they're reading. It's like they miss it, just like they miss the Messiah in Israel. He's like, do you believe what you're talking about? I'm like, yes, Lord. He goes, pay attention. When he told me that the day before, we had been over at the Bracey's house for a gender reveal for the soon coming baby. And T shared about an encounter that he had in a dream. And then a few Sundays before that, Michael had an encounter in church. And then a couple days ago, Tracy texted me about an encounter that she had at home, right? You were at home when that happened. And all of these are different, but they have something in common. It's that something begins to shift. Destinies are impacted by the name of a child. I wanted to get them to share these testimonies. Then I'm going to read you a testimony from a legend. And then next week, I'm not going to push the time here. I'm going to have to finish this whole thing up probably next week. But I want to have a time of impartation prayer. Okay? I want to ask Michael and Tracy and Tavitra, since they happen to be the ones, and I know others of us in the room have had encounters this year, but who doesn't want more? Like, I just want more because it's Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not about a supernatural experience. It's not about for the way of bragging, like, look at me, look at what I've had. Or as charismatics get accused of being too into feelings and experiences, it's not about the feelings and experiences, although those are important because they're important biblically. But it's about the fruit. Jesus said, you will know a tree by its fruit. What fruit does the encounter reveal? In church history, when revivals, when God would move from the way long time ago to the first great awakening, to the second great awakening, to the charismatic renewal and all those in between, you see a judging of the fruit. And that's why we're going after these things. Okay? So I'm going to say a few other words, but I want to get, Michael, let's start with you. Just come share a few minutes about what happened with you, and if you can explain that, and then maybe we'll do T and then Tracy. Does that sound good?
I wanted to start with the scripture from John 4. Yeah, when Matthew asked me to share, I was praying, and as I was praying last night, I began to just pray, and I was like, God, I don't want to just, like, share about an encounter. Like, I want every person in here to have an encounter with you, you know, whatever that looks like. And as I was praying that, I began to weep, and he took me to John chapter 4, and it's the passage that we're all familiar with, where the Samaritan woman, she encounters Jesus at the well. But as I began to look at it, I began to see the power of testifying about encounters. Yeah. You know, Matthew just said, we get what we talk about. And as I was reading through it, she has this encounter with Jesus and she's undone. She leaves everything and she begins to testify about this man who has told her everything that he knows about her. And what was so powerful was after she began to testify, many began to believe. But then in John 4, verses 41 and 42, they begin to tell her, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Something happened out of her testifying about Jesus, where I think there was such a demand, such a hunger in the city where they wanted Jesus themselves, that Jesus, he just had to walk through and encounter each person.
Yeah.
And so that's my prayer today. It's like whatever I share from my encounter from a few weeks back is that release would come over all of us. And so, Father, I'm just asking even right now, God, however you want to meet us, whether it's on the ground, whether it's at work, Lord, that you would just, Lord, meet us this morning. Father, with a powerful visitation, God, that would not only change us, but it would change, God, the environments around us in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, would you loose that in Jesus' name?
Yes, Lord.
And so I wanted to start by sharing a little bit about what led up to the encounter. One of my favorite speakers to listen to is this guy from Australia named Neville Johnson. And he does this weekly podcast on Mondays, and I was listening to one that week by his son, and his son was sharing this testimony of how he, you know, was yearning for the types of encounters that his dad was constantly sharing, but he was frustrated that, like, why am I not having these encounters, you know? He began really just to sacrifice some of his favorite television time to begin to seek God. And he fast forwards in his testimony, and he has this one time where he's praying, and all of a sudden he sees Jesus literally walking into his room.
Wow.
And that visitation, like, really changed him. And he began to believe, if Jesus can meet me here in my room, why can't he meet me at my workplace? And so he began to go to work early every day just to pray and believe that God would visit. And all of a sudden, the presence of God literally visited his workplace to a degree where his coworkers started encountering God.
Wow.
And so I'm listening to this message and I'm like, man, like, I really want this. Like, something stirred in me. I was like, what if, like, I'm teaching and all of a sudden, like, the presence of God just visits my classroom so powerfully. Like, I just can't teach math, you know? And I began to have this, like, jealousy. Like, I want this, God. And then I was hanging out with a friend the next day. And after I had left, I was driving home and my friend texted. And she texted, I just hear this word visitation over you. And I was like, oh, snaps. Like, I just want to go see God now. And so I began to pray and ask God just for this visitation just to meet with me. And nothing was really happening, you know, within that evening or that morning, except that God began to show me different areas of my heart that I just needed to either repent of or deal with or forgive certain people, etc. And then that morning I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to come to River Life. I'm ready for visitation from God. I'm going to show up early. And as I was getting ready to step out the door, the Lord said, I want you to call your mom and tell her how much you love her. I was like, God, but I'm about to go to church. I'm about to worship you. Like, I'm going to be late if I start talking to my mom because I know how much she can talk. But I was like, okay, God must have said this for a purpose, right? And so I call my mom and we just have the best conversation. I just begin to affirm her and just bless her and tell her how much she means to me. And then we get off the phone and I'm coming to church and I just knew, like, something just shifted. I don't know what just happened, but, like, because of my obedience in that area, like, God's going to do something, you know? And it doesn't always have to be that way, but that's just the way that it was for me leading up to this encounter. And so I just remember being here in worship that morning. I just come in and it was just really swirly in the midst of the worship, and I just began to just exalt Jesus and just really focus on him. And in the midst of it, like, this thought came to my mind. I was like, this doesn't have to be familiar. Like, I don't want it to just be familiar worship, you know? Like, God, whatever this looks like, to just, like, go after you, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Like, I'm just going to worship you. And I remember in the middle of one of the songs, I forget which one, but they were singing about just, like, God's love. And all of a sudden, I just began to go down to my knees and began to weep. And at that point, I didn't really know what was happening, but I just wanted to sort of flow with the presence of God and just really allow for him to do whatever he wanted to do. And I remember just staying on the ground weeping. And all of a sudden, I was thinking in my natural self, I was like, I've got, like, a pool of, like, tears that I'm, like, laying in, my shirt's getting wet. I want to go take a shower. And then at some point, T starts preaching. I didn't even realize he was preaching. I was trying to tune in, and he began to preach about, you know, the bride and really what is God's heart for the church. And as he began to preach about that and I was weeping, I began to feel this immense love from the Lord. First, like, how much he loved me, and then how much he loves my family. And then I felt how much he loves River Life. And then I felt, like, how much he loves the church in Chapel Hill. And all of it was centered around love.
Wow.
And I began to, like, be overwhelmed. And there were parts of the visitation where, like, I could feel, like, electricity shooting through my body.
Wow.
And it was so holy. And I was like, God, if you don't lift this, like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Like, Lord, you have to stop.
Yeah.
And so there would be waves where, like, he would lift it a little bit so I could, like, catch my breath. And then he would, like, start encountering me again. And in the midst of it, I began to go into this deep place of just forgiveness. Like, Lord, forgive me for my attitude, you know, towards different people and towards different churches and towards just different things. And T was preaching about it. And I hear, like, Chris and Matthew, like, praying the same thing over here. And I felt like, wow, like, this is really what God's heart is for.
Wow.
Like, the body in this time. Like, if we can really know the power of his love, that will change everything.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, undone by that. And I was like, God, I just want more of your love. More of your love for my people, for my students, for, Lord, the people here, for the city, whatever, like, you want to do. Like, whatever you have to tear out of my soul to love, like, do it, you know?
Wow.
And I remember just weeping and staying on the ground for a while, and even after service had ended, just having a difficult time coming up. But the fruit of coming up, when I came up, like, for the first time, like, I've known, like, you know that God loves you, like, but it's like, for the first time, like, I was like, wow, like, no, God really loves me. Like, I knew as a son, wow, like, God loves me. And there was so much joy and freedom and peace. And Matthew and I were meeting at the coffee shop not too long ago, and we were talking. And somehow we got on the topic of, like, the fruit, like, of an encounter, like, how an encounter can, like, help you get sustained through difficult times. And that just made me begin to reflect. And I was like, what was the fruit of this encounter of love? And for the next several weeks, I began to realize, like, in moments where normally I would react to stress in a way of, like, getting overwhelmed and, you know, complaining too much and wondering, like, am I adequate enough to fulfill this job or this job? Like, there would be those times that would come up, but I noticed, because of that visitation from the Lord, every time I was in a stressful situation, instead of reacting the ways that I would normally react, like complaining, like, God, this is too hard or whatever, like, I would just pause. And then I would just think about that visitation. I was like, no, I can get through this. God loves me.
Wow.
Like, he's put me here for such a time as this. Oof. And I just began to realize, wow, something as simple but as powerful as knowing God's love for you,
yeah,
changes everything.
Come on.
Wow.
And that was really the fruit of the visitation. Like,
yeah,
God loves me.
Wow.
Wow. I just want to say something. Could any of y'all feel that off of him? The reality of the love. Like, even while I was just looking at you, I could see a difference,
yeah,
in you. It was like somebody different standing there.
Wow.
And so, Lord, we just bless, yeah, Michael, Lord. We bless what you started, Lord, in him. And, Lord, we're saying more. Yeah.
More
of that, Lord Jesus. More of what you've started, that identity, that love
more,
encounter,
Lord. Yeah.
Lord, that you've started in him, Lord. And we just bless him
more
to go forth into everything you have,
yes,
for him, Lord God. We just ask you that all that you have deposited, Lord, that you would pour out through him, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you,
yeah,
for that love encounter,
yes,
Lord. And
yeah,
we, Lord, we just say we want those love encounters.
Yes.
So, Lord, we do. We open ourselves up and we say, Lord, we want more.
Yes,
we want more of those love encounters, those life-altering moments with,
yes,
you. And we just say, come on, Lord, have your way. Whatever you want to do, however it looks, Lord, let it come.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I just bless you, Michael. That was awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, so Matthew asked me to share something. I'm going to try and be really brief, but I think to share the dream I had about my child, my baby boy, is actually the fruit of when Tyler Connell came here. So it actually kind of started there, and my wife wanted me to share some kind of backdrop to this story, kind of leading up to it. And it really, you know, I think the fruit of this is the goodness of God. Like, because I think that is what was being challenged in this time. And so for those of you that don't know, my wife and I had experienced a miscarriage with our first child, you know, and that's really hard. You know, I mean, it's just hard. There's a lot of things you question in that time. And I think what the enemy was trying to do was to get me to doubt, like, the goodness of God. You know, of just like, if he is good, then why would this, you know, and the why, the what, all this stuff that you'll never know. And it's just a big mystery. But it's not about the why, it's about the who,
right,
you know, it's who is God, you know. And so
yeah,
during this time, I'll start here. I was driving to a coffee shop, and there was I was listening to a YouTube thing, and this never happens to me. Like, somehow in the middle of me listening to one YouTube sermon, it switches to a complete other sermon. I didn't push a button or anything. It just switches to a completely different sermon. And it was this pastor, and he was preaching on this verse out of Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 3 that talks about, "Sing, barren woman, you who have never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because are the children of the desolate one, then you'll have more children than the one who, you know, already has." And so I really believe he was just saying, like, no, my goodness and my promises of what I showed you are good. And, you know, I want you to, while you can be depressed and you can be sad, I want you to rejoice. And I want you to go ahead and sing in faith for what I'm going to do right now. And so for me, I was like, okay, God, I don't understand. And that's what the pastor was preaching on. And so I called my wife and I was like, well, you just got to sing. And I was like, I don't know why my heart doesn't feel it. My mind doesn't understand it. But I'm like, we're going to sing, you know, just in a prophetic act. And we did. We just began to sing. And so, you know, in any way, when Tyler was here, he and his wife had experienced something similar. And he actually had a word during that service that he didn't release. And when I met with him at a coffee shop, he was like, bro, I think that's for you. And he released that word over me. And anyway, so we get pregnant again, and I was just like, Lord, you are faithful, you're good. And anyway, we were struggling to come up with a name for this kiddo, and you know, and my wife is, she's like, God's gonna give it to him. I'm like, but we co-create with him, I could just come up with something. And she's like, no, I believe he's gonna give it to us, you know. And and both are true, you know what I mean. And so, and so, but anyway, I have this dream one night, and it's myself, my wife, my father-in-law, Evan, and there's this little baby. It's this little baby boy, and he has this amazing curly hair, and he has this big smile on his face, and he's just laughing in the dream, and in the dream he could talk, and I'm like, obviously that's a little weird, but, you know, it's like a little bitty thing like this. But anyway, like, my father and Law grabs him, and he's holding him and, you know, just playing with him. He loves babies. He's like a baby whisperer, you know, and like, he's just really good with little kids and everything. And so he has this big smile on his face. And at the end of the dream, like, he hands him back to me, and I'm like, Amaziah Dietrich. And I'm like, I had never thought of naming him, really. You know, Amaziah, we had kicked that around a couple times, but Dietrich was not on my grid. Not on my grid at all. And I looked at the child in the dream, and that's what I called him. You know, it was Amaziah Dietrich. And you know, I was like, well, Lord, if this is true, then, you know, we kind of know what this baby's name is going to be then, you know. And it was a little baby boy. And I mean, you got a 50-50 shot of it being a girl or a boy. And so at the gender reveal, we were, you know, all surprised when, you know, it was revealed, like, hey, you're having a baby boy. You know, and the Lord does speak to people through dreams, you know, like, they're super important. You know, he's done it a lot in the Bible, and it just turns out, like, hey, this is what this baby's name is going to be, Amaziah Dietrich Bracey. And, you know, he was a boy, and so it was just confirmed, you know. Yeah. The fruit of that dream is like, hey, this is a reality, and yeah, this was God speaking to his goodness, you know, of even just keeping our hearts alive in that. And so, and Amaziah Dietrich is a really unique name as well. It has a lot of meaning behind it. The Lord is strong, or my strength. And then, like, leader of the people, you know, yeah. I was like, well, all right, Lord, you named this kid, you know? And so, you know, and even Dietrich is a German name. And, through my wife's side, we actually have German in our blood. And so, you know, I was like, wow. You know, this is really incredible. And so I just released this testimony over anybody, even people watching on the live stream that have experienced, like, miscarriages or anything like that. I say the Lord is good. Yeah. He is good over his promises, what he wants to speak and do through you and open up wombs right now in the name of Jesus to birth children. Yes. That they are a blessing. And I say, Lord, you are good. You are always good. All the time, 100% of the time, he's good every time. Yeah, and right. So, yeah, that's amen. Good.
Okay, the way this came about was very, very unique. But I knew when Pastor prayed it over us that we'd had it because God was going to answer. You know, I knew it. So I got really excited. I was like, oh, he's praying for encounters. Thank you, Jesus. But I need to explain something, I think. The reason why I wanted encounters is because of some of the stuff I had gone through in my life as a single mom and divorce and some of the things that I had gone walked through. And I said, Lord, I need to know you're with me. I don't need to think it. I don't need to read about it, Lord. I need to know you're with me. And so it was a great desire of mine to say, Lord, I want you to manifest yourself to me. You say in your word that if we seek you with all of our heart, okay, that you will manifest yourself to me. And I was sitting in an apartment as a single mom, and it happened, okay, because I was a single mom trying to take care of a son, and my ex-husband's people were always trying to take him away from me. Take him away from me. Find some dirt to take him away from me. And I kept having to fight for my son. So I said, Lord, I need to know that you're with me.
Wow.
And I walked into a church service one day, and all of a sudden I'm standing there worshiping like we do here. And all of a sudden Jesus is standing right in front of me. And it didn't matter if I closed my eyes or I opened my eyes. He was still standing there. Wow. He did not move. And I couldn't do anything. Everybody in the service is dancing and laughing and, you know, and having all this fun. And I'm just standing there like stunned, like, oh, my God, you answered. You really answered. And then I go, oh, God, what do you want? I mean, you know, because when you ask for something, sometimes when you get it, you go, oh, I don't know what to do with this. Okay. And so I literally went like that. I go, I don't know what to do with this. And then he put his hands out, and he began to hand me something. And I was like, I don't want anything. I just want to see you. I just want to see you. I mean, I was that afraid. I was. And you know, the Bible always says, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
I know what they felt because I was like, oh, God, he's right here. Okay. All right. So this lady walks across the church, and she literally put her hand on my shoulder. And I'm so out of it, y'all. I'm crying. I'm laughing. I'm totally out of it because of what I'm seeing. And she put her hand on my shoulder, and she said, receive what he's giving you. And then I hit the floor.
Whoa.
Because I knew what I was seeing was real.
Wow.
You know, and sometimes we question God when he's trying to show us something. We're questioning it. We're saying, are you really real? Are you really, you know. So, in lieu of that, my son, Ben, ordered a book called The Glory by Joshua Mills.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to tell you something. Little books sometimes have great power.
Yeah.
Okay, because it came from a great anointing where somebody sought the Lord seriously and meant it. Okay, and this is, it says, scriptures and prayers to manifest God's presence in your life. Okay, in the midst of taking Kenneth to work, in the midst of taking Ben to work, and, you know, just running all over town, it's like, Lord, I really miss my time with you. I really miss my time with you, but okay, Lord, I know you're with me. I sat down for 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Literally 5 minutes with the Lord. That's all it takes. It says, in the glory, I am surrounded by the presence of God's angels.
Wow.
And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight when they went out. The wheels also went beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of God of Israel was over and above them. So you read a scripture, and then you pray a prayer. It's just simple, okay? It's amazing how God works so simple. Anyway, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm continually amazed by your awesome presence of your glory. Thank you for opening my eyes to see spiritual realities and for opening my spirit to receive them fully. I want to learn how to cooperate with your glory and work with the angels that surround my life. That's all I read. And 2 seconds later, there was an angel standing in front of me in my living room. He's standing in front of me. And like I said, all I could say was, what do you want? What do you want? Because when it happens, you're just totally blown away. You're just, you don't know what to do with it. And then all of a sudden, I was in a friend's living room in Raleigh, and they're pastors that I love dearly. And I'm in the living room, and it didn't matter if I opened my eyes or closed my eyes. I was still seeing the same vision, okay? It does not matter. God can break through all those walls that block us from seeing. And I was in their living room, and the angel was there with me. So I'm looking in their living room, around their living room, in their house, and I'm going, why am I here? And the angel stood up against the corner, And we can interact with them, y'all. We can talk to them. Okay? I had to learn this. They want to send us a message. So I said to the angel, I said, what do you want? Do you want me just to pray for them? Because I'll pray for them. That's what you want. And he said, I'm the agent of change. Tell them. Okay. So a couple minutes later, I called Pastor Calvin, and I said, are you able to talk? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I'm sitting in your living room in the spirit, and I can see your Christmas decorations, and I can see your fireplace. I said, but the neat thing about it is there's an angel standing in the corner of your living room. And he said, oh, my. And you know, you could tell in the background that he didn't know what to do with it. He was like, okay, call Pastor Kim. So I called Pastor Kim, and I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, but I'm in your living room in the spirit. I can see your Christmas decorations. I can see your fireplace. And I said, but the funny thing is that there's an angel standing in your living room. And she got really quiet for a minute. And she's a very godly woman, just a sweet woman. And she said, I saw him yesterday in my living room. She said, but I didn't know what he wanted. And she said, it scared me so bad, I tried to act like it wasn't there. That's what she did. She said, I tried to act like it wasn't there. She said, what did he want? Why isn't it in my house? I said, he says he's the agent of change. And she began to scream on the phone. She said, if you knew what was happening in my home right now and what's happening in our life right now, she said, you would understand why I needed to hear this right now. And she began to cry. And she said, when I can get it together enough, I'll tell you why I needed to hear this today. So see, sometimes when we have encounters, it's not about us. It's about a message for someone else that's going through. Like Pastor said, and T and Michael said, it's not about us. He wants to meet with us. The angels met with people all the time in the Bible days. And don't let people talk you out of that today. Don't let them say it doesn't happen anymore.
That's right.
Because it's available. When this prayer was, give me the capacity to receive from the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what we need to impart today, as Pastor said, for these impartations. Give us the capacity. Give us the capacity to receive from the heavenly realm, to be able to see and feel and taste and touch from the heavenly realm. Because it's available to us, and it changes us. He's saying, I want to come and meet with you. I want to touch you. I want to pour out my outrageous love on you. All we have to do is ask for it. It really is that simple. And that's what he's wanting to give us today. He's wanting to give us the supernatural encounters. He wanted to know that this baby's name was planned before it ever came into the womb. That baby was already planned out in the heavenly realm. It's already been in the bosom of the Father, and it's just made manifest on the earth. That's how specific he is in our life. You got, whoa, that's how specific he is. He wants to encounter with us. People want to say, is he a living God? He's living. He's breathing. He's moving. He's on the earth. It's not just reading the Bible. It's not. If you read the Bible long enough, it will become real. And people will begin to say, what's happening to you? You're different. You're changed. I just caution, when you ask for it, you better be ready. You better be ready, because he will answer you. He will. He has come to me in the wildest ways. Like Pastor said, at church, in my office. I went and prayed through an office one time and fell down on my knees in that office. And everybody in that office had an encounter that day. And I walked out of there and I said, well, that was good, God. That was really good. All he wants us to do is partner with him. All he wants us to do is to say, I am in agreement. I want to bring the superior over the inferior. Whoa. See, we live in an inferior place. This is inferior. Okay, we're not made to live here. We're made to live there.
Yeah.
We're supposed to bring that here. Bill Johnson said it this week. Bring the superior into the inferior.
Yeah.
People want to know that God is real. Okay? They want to know that his love is real. They want to know that these supernatural encounters of people acting crazy, laughing, crying on the floor, spinning around, maybe running around the church, they're encountering with something supernatural. And it's him. It's the Lord himself. And I believe that's what he wants to impart to us today. He wants to show us that he's tangible. Whoa. Because I asked for it. I asked for it. It's a dangerous prayer when you say, Lord, manifest yourself to me. But I grew up in the church. And I went to Catholic church, I went to Episcopalian church, I went to Holiness church, I went to Pentecostal church, I went to Wesleyan church, and as a young girl at 8 years old, I said, Lord, which one of these are right? They're all doing different stuff. I don't get it. Which one of these are right? And he said, I'm in each and every one of those churches.
Yeah, come on.
He said, it's my manifest presence.
Come on.
And I believe that's what the pastor is imparting to us, yes. If you want it. Yeah, that's it. It's that simple. You literally say, me, Lord, I want to manifest a superior to this inferior place and bring change into people's lives. Whoa. And he will come upon you. I don't care if it's heat. My sister's hands turn like fire. Her hands turn red. You know what I mean? People have different kinds of personal encounters with him. But I can tell you this. When you have one, you'll know it's him. You will know it's him. Nobody will have to tell you. Nobody will have to touch you. You'll know it's him.
Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Oh. Hebrews 12. I don't have this on the screen. I want you to listen to it sung first, if this will play out of my thing.